is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where we talk about the things that made us who we are and where we're going in the future.
Because every week we're finding a new way that we're growing up.
Hi, I'm Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where 20-somethings navigate life apart together. Welcome back to Relationship Month on the podcast. We hope you enjoyed last week of us reading Reddit and giving better relationship advice.
It was fun. No, I really enjoyed it.
I did too. I hope we get to do that again. We'll get started with a question of the week. And that question is, what is your preferred grocery store, Colby?
My preferred grocery store is Food Lion.
That's a really cool name for a grocery store.
Is it cool? I don't know. I've always grown up with it, and like Food Lion was like the place he went. So yeah, Food Lion.
Growing up, we had a Rainbow Foods, which I'm pretty sure doesn't exist anymore. And then it turned into a Roundies, and then I think Cub Foods bought some of the Roundies, so now it's a Cub Foods. So I think it's a. It must be.
These all sound like British children's games. It's like you want to go for a bout of Roundies.
Sounds like a drug. And then I go to Trader Joe's sometimes. It's really like, and I shop at Target for a lot of grocery stores. I'm not super picky. Honestly, I don't
Target
like,
grocery is low-key trash.
Maybe down there. It's pretty good up here. Although I've had some problems with produce not being super fresh, but I mean, like, if you're going there just to get, like, cereal and some stuff, it's totally fine, so.
Food Lion's good. I like Harris Teeter as well.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. I like that name.
It's mostly, my friends called it the Harry Teat. It's mostly in the Southeast, I'm pretty sure. But, like, very low-key Walmart grocery is really good.
Do you have, like, a Meijer? I know that's a chain.
No.
What about Aldi?
The only like big like national chains I know we have are Trader Joe's, Walmart, and like Whole Foods.
Do you have an Aldi?
Oh yeah, but there are Aldis spread out, but they aren't super common. And now we have like Publixes. I don't know if you have a Publix here. It might be a Southeast thing. I know they have them in like Florida up towards here.
Wow, we just named like 20 grocery chains. That's so funny. And like we only have 4 in common. Interesting. That's interesting. Well, you can find me on Instagram at Real Martha Riley, and you can find us on Twitter at Martha and Colby.
And you can find Colby on Twitter at Colby Complains and on Instagram at Colby Complains. And if you want to send us a little something on the side, you can do that at ko-fi.com. That is Ko-fi Coffee, one of those. I just spelled it for you, so you don't really need it. Ko-fi.com/Martha and Colby.
All right, this week we are talking more relationship stuff, but we're talking about polyamory.
Yay.
I have a nice little PowerPoint that I made.
The polyamorous tradition of making charts.
Is it a tradition? I think it might just be something I do.
It was in that one tweet I sent you.
Yeah, that's true.
The tweet, for those not looking, was somebody said, I am voting for whoever puts all polyamorous person in jail. And someone replied and said, what would we all do there? And the next person said, make a flow chart. If you have a polyamorous friend, that is a funny joke. I promise.
Which I will explain why. Well, I can explain why it's funny to me. Anyways, we will get started. So, an intro to polyamory, because maybe it's easier in PowerPoint form, which you guys can't see, but I am reading it on a PowerPoint. So
we could probably push this out, right?
Yeah, we can share this. Okay, so I'll give you a little, I feel like I'm in class. This is great.
I'm in a webinar.
I feel like I've always wanted to be a teacher. Not really, but this is fun. Okay, an overview of the presentation. So we're going to go over the definition. What does that look like for people? Common terms that may be helpful. Some myths about polyamory. Frequently asked questions. How to be supportive. And resources if you want to learn more. Okay, so before we go into this, I guess I want to explain why I am teaching Colby about this. It's something that I am familiar with in the sense that I've practiced it a little bit. I've dated polyamorous people. I have dated many people at once. And right now I'm kind of not dating anyone because, God, it's just so much work sometimes. So sometimes...
Also, whenever you say, hey, I'm going to start dating, you immediately have like 7 dates
I know,
in
but
a
I,
2-hour span.
I haven't recently, so I have actually been taking a break, which I am proud
of. It's happened twice in like the past 2 months.
I like dating, what can I say? So it's something that I'm like familiar with a little bit. I also have some polyamorous friends, and I mean, like, people I've met in the community too, so I've learned a lot, and hopefully I can share what I've learned to you all. What is polyamory? So this is a definition from a website called morethan2.com, which is a pretty awesome online resource. And they say it is the non-possessive, honest, responsible, and ethical philosophy and practice of loving multiple people simultaneously. Polyamory emphasizes consciously choosing how many partners one wishes to be involved with rather than accepting social norms which dictate loving only one person at a time. Polyamory is from the root words poly, meaning many, and amor, meaning love, hence many loves or polyamory. And I actually have a funny meme about that that I sent to someone I was seeing because he was a... like Latin and Greek major. He had like his master's in it.
Fancy.
Yeah, he was an interesting guy. Okay, so the meme I sent him, it says, polyamory is wrong. It is either multi-amory or polyphilia, but mixing Greek and Latin roots, wrong. So apparently it mixes Greek and Latin roots. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, because poly is Greek, the Greek part, and amor is the Latin part.
There we go. And further disclaimer, just because we are teaching polyamory on this podcast doesn't mean...
Wait, no, he's wrong. That's not how English works. As I tell the person with the Greek degree.
Well, he didn't say that. That was on the meme.
Ah, well, the meme's wrong.
Okay, well, it's truly not important.
No, I'm going to be mad about it. Because Ophelia is like a fetish. Like, the way that it's used in English, like, that's how it's used.
He told me it was wrong.
I mean, it's wrong in, wrong in a way that you're mixing, like, a Greek and a Latin root, but, like, a bunch of words mix a bunch of roots all the time. It's why English is a super weird language.
Anyway.
My mom made me watch the spelling bee.
Okay, so just because we're learning about polyamory today doesn't mean we're saying, like, this way is better than the other way. It's just a different way of thinking about things.
Or no way, or yeah, two ways. Or,
exactly. You know. Next slide. Lots of words. What does this all mean? This PowerPoint is so good. okay, so I said for many people, it means the idea of dating / cohabitating / sleeping with / falling in love with more than one person at a time. So it's really, polyamory is really an umbrella term, and there are several other types of relationships made up in this umbrella. You may have heard of non-monogamy or ethical non-monogamy, which is similar, but doesn't always imply the presence of love in a relationship, and polyamory does. What can this look like? So I touched on it a little bit in the last slide, but that you're definitely looking at right now. I touched on it a little bit, but it can look like a lot of different things. So on the slide, I have what's called a polycule, and that's how different people are linked through different forms of polyamory. It includes anything from lovers, former lovers, friends, primary partners, and non-monogamous pals.
In case it wasn't clear, polycule is a pun on molecule.
Oh my God, I actually didn't know that.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No, I didn't know that.
It looks like a chemistry molecule.
Oh, I learned something new today.
Polycule.
I was really wondering why it was called that.
I wonder what your recess missing.
Okay, so a molecule is basically like, I guess you could say, a map of everyone you're in a relationship with, and that includes people your partners are in relationship to, people you're maybe sleeping with, people you are friends with who are also non-monogamous. It can include like so many different things. So it's just an example of what it looks like. But yeah, there's lots of different types of polyamory. So like I mentioned, like lovers, former lovers, friends, and other non-monogamous pals.
Polycule is mixing Greek and Latin, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is my color commentary for this episode. Right.
Well, yeah, and please ask questions, student Colby. So here is some more definitions that may be useful. So you heard me talk about primary partner, our primary relationship, and that means I wrote essentially your ride or die.
A1 since day one.
Yeah, someone you're married to, live with, have kids with. This person takes up most of your time and energy. So I don't live with anyone. I'm not married with anyone. But if I were to start dating, I would primarily be looking for a primary partner or someone that is sort of like the designated like boyfriend, girlfriend. Some people don't work like this. Some people don't like the primary partner methodology. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But for me, it sort of helps separate out, okay, what am I looking for? So monogamy, the definition is the practice of being married to one person at a time. That could just mean dating one person at a time. Okay, yeah. So that's usually what people are most familiar with when you're dating. It's just you and one other person. An open relationship is a relationship where the partners decide that they can have sexual relations outside of the relationship. So not necessarily fall in love, but you can have some sort of physical relationship. We talked about primary partners, and now also there are secondary and tertiary partners. These relationships are still quite important, but they're not the people you spend the most time with, like they still care about. So, for example, I dated someone with a primary partner, and I was considered, like, secondary or tertiary. And it's not like I felt bad about that. That's just sort of the boundaries that we had established. One other fun term is kitchen table poly, and that's the idea that you and your partners and their partners can hang out drinking coffee together without any awkwardness. So that's just a little bit, that's cute. I like that.
Let me just interject and say, like, I'm currently in a monogamous relationship, but, like, I feel like if I was seeing, like, multiple people seriously at the same time, that sounds like a lot of birthdays and Christmas gifts, and I am terrible.
Yeah,
at buying gifts, I don't think I would enjoy that very much.
Did we ever talk about on the pod how you were my secret Santa? I don't know if we ever did.
I don't think we did.
Well, Colby was my secret Santa. I liked the present that I got. Anyways.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I hated every second.
I know. You were being crappy about it. It's fine. It's fine. We moved past it. Okay. Let's move on to some... before we go on, do you have any questions so far? Anything that I could clarify further?
No. I feel like some people make it out to be more complicated than it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really pretty straightforward. It's like, yeah, I have more than one partner right now. Boom. That's it.
So let's maybe back up a little bit. When is the first time that you were introduced to polyamory? Was it in like a movie or what?
Definitely not a movie.
Yeah, it's not. I was going to say it's not really common in movies. I can't really think of any off the top of my head.
I can't say this for sure, but one thing I can... I'll say is when I was a child, just a little insight into
baby Colby,
into little Colbs, I would just go on Wikipedia and read and just like click and click and click and click and read articles on articles on articles about everything. I would not be surprised the first time I learned about polyamory was on Wikipedia when I was like 12 years old, bored, just clicking on links.
There you go.
That's where I learned so much stuff.
I'm really good at Wikipedia races, side note. Like
I'm so good at Wikipedia races.
Honestly, I bet you're probably better than me, so. I don't know where I learned about it. It was sort of introduced to me as... a thing that could possibly be viable in one of my other relationships that I had. And I don't want to get into that too much because it's a little bit personal. But it was something that it was like, oh, there isn't just one way. So I learned about it later on in life. Anyways, back to the PowerPoint.
Back to life. Sorry.
So let's go over some
mood right now. I don't know why. Anyway,
that's keep good. Going. Let's go over some myths about polyamory. And I'll just speak to my experience, but on any given day, if I'm like on a dating app or if I, you know, I'm browsing, I will either receive a message or see someone's profile asking if I want to sleep with them or if I'm open for threesomes. And like, that's like literally not what it's about. Just because I maybe date multiple people at one time, it doesn't necessarily mean like I would want to get physical right away. Polyamory is just like any other relationship. You want to build up that trust, like we talked about last episode, and see if this person would be a good fit. Except you just do that with more than one person at a time. And Colby's right. Like, it can be very exhausting. You do have to have good sense of boundaries. And
I'm exhausted listening to you, listening to all your stories. But I think along with that, there are some people who do want to jump into a physical relationship and that's something that they're into. But do not assume that that is what everybody or even most polyamorous people want.
Yeah, for sure. It depends. I mean, I'm sure like you've seen the couples on Tinder who are like, oh, looking for a unicorn, and it's just like gross, like go somewhere else. I don't know, I find that gross. But anyways, some myths continued. Poly people love to cheat. This is a myth. Cheating happens in all types of relationship, not just non-monogamous or polyamorous relationship. Cheating is never ideal, and it sucks when it happens to you, just like in any relationship would. It doesn't. People aren't dating multiple people because they like to cheat. That's ridiculous. Okay. Myth: people are unsatisfied with just one partner, so they want multiple. I don't think this is necessarily true. Why sort of I decided to look into this and pursue this is that I believe I can love more than one person, and many people can fill my needs in a relationship. It's unfair to me to place the burden on just one person. And who knows, like this might change, but I like the idea of sort of spreading. Like I've been in monogamous relationships for most of my life, and it was great having that one person you could always count on, but sometimes that can just like be a lot. And for me, it's nice to, okay, maybe one person can be my movie going buddy, or like one person being my concert buddy. I've never met someone who has fulfilled all my needs. If they're out there, let me know. I'd love to find you so I don't have to keep a detailed Google calendar.
Her number is 673.
Yes, if you're listening to this podcast, you can email us at marthaandcolby@gmail.com for a blind date. Thanks. Actually, that'd be funny. Maybe I should do that.
No, anyways. Don't. Nope, 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 nope. Don't do that.
Myths continued. Polyamory can never work. People are way too jealous. Yes, this is true. People are jealous. But polyamorous people recognize that jealousy comes with the type of relationship they choose to pursue. People in polyamorous relationships actively work on communicating and expressing when the feelings of jealousy are happening in order to create a stronger relationship. So I know in the past that I've like kept things really bottled up and they didn't come out until later. And that's not necessarily good. So I've really had to work on bringing things up when they're happening, just so we can talk about them and get it over with rather than just let it fester and shit. So another myth is that poly people just hate commitment, because you might think that if people are dating multiple people, they're not ready to settle down. Sometimes that's true, but sometimes it's not. Like, I'm pretty good at committing. It takes work to schedule 2+ partners, communicate our wants and desires, and take time for ourselves to make sure we're bringing the best to each of our partnerships. So
it sounds like it involves calendars, honestly.
Oh, it does. GCal is the shit. When I was dating a lot of people, I would color code them each. My partner, a person I was seeing, his name was Alex. He was always Forrest Green, for example. But I think...
Do they get to pick their colors?
Yes, I did ask what colors they wanted. But you, I think even more important in polyamorous relationships, and I'm using that as an umbrella term, that could just be like non-monogamy too, it's important to take time for yourself, because I was talking to my therapist recently and I was explaining, I was like, man, dating's so hard. And she's like, yeah, you're literally opening up and being vulnerable to all these new people all the time. Like, holy shit. I was like, oh, you're right. Like, that's why I'm so tired all the time. So I've scaled way back, and you just have to remember to do what's best for you. If it feels too much, probably is. FAQ, lightning round. Is this a Mormon thing? No, that's polygamy. What if your partner falls in love with someone else? That's okay if that's what your relationship is structured as. I don't think I could ever do that. Okay, then don't. It's not for everyone. Is it weird dating married people? Is it weird that your husband doesn't know you're cheating on him? Ooh, that was a sassy response.
You were feeling some type of way when you wrote this.
I sure was. How do you find poly people to date? There are more of us than you think. They're on all the apps. And sometimes it's something that you might not know you want to try. Maybe after listening to this, you're like, oh, I could do that. I think that... A really common example of like why people get into polyamory is, I don't know if this is too weird, but we've talked about sex before, and I have when it was just me, but it could be just like difference in sexual preferences, and maybe you're uncomfortable with doing something else, and your partner wanted to try that, so you're like, okay, find someone to try that with, and we can still have our own relationship that doesn't include some of these things, so it just depends.
Honestly, like, it kind of comes down to last week when I said, yeah, most of the advice is going to come down to communicate. Like, just be down. Like, if this is something you want to pursue, just be down with communicating. Be very good at communicating. Get good at communicating if you're not.
Exactly. If you're thinking and listening about this and you're wondering, how could I be supportive of someone who is interested in this? Well, I have a non-exhaustive list for you. First, refrain from judgment. If this is new to you, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It's just different. Don't flip out when someone tells you they opened a relationship. You don't know why. Let them talk first. Third point is listen. Our relationship problems maybe aren't that different from yours.
They really aren't. It's the same thing.
Just with more people. Ask questions, but be respectful. Check out some blogs and books, which I will list in a second. Understands that relationships are fluid and people are monogamous or polyamorous for a host of different reasons. Your friend or friends trust you with this information that not everyone may know. It's a big deal. Like, treat it as such. They opened up a part of themselves that they maybe like don't tell their parents about or don't tell some other people about. Maybe they don't tell everyone at work. And that is, you know, that's totally real. Like, be respectful of that.
Can I add one more way to be a supportive friend?
Yes.
Mind your business.
That is also true.
Just generally in life, mind your business and you'll be all right.
I think one thing that I struggled with friends, like me telling friends, is that like, they're like, oh, that's not for me. Like, you don't have to
say that. We ain't talking about you.
They're like, oh, I just don't get that. Like, I was like, okay. Like, I'm not asking you to get it. I'm just asking, like, for your support. I'm having a problem with one of the people I'm dating. Can we talk about that rather than focusing on, you know, my relationship structure? So yeah, that's very real. But one thing I want to talk about too is there are different types, just like a quick explainer, there are different types of polyamory. We mentioned, you know, ethical non-monogamy, but there's also something called like solo polyamory. And we can go into that a little bit, maybe relationship anarchy after this, two other important terms that fall under the umbrella. But solo polyamory is basically like, you're right? For all intents and purposes, not committed to a primary partner. You're having fun dating a lot of people. You might be, you know, someone's, you might be dating some married dudes, some other chicks. Like, it just depends. But you're not committed to one person. And then relationship anarchy basically means, like, fuck the whole structure. You could have someone that you see most of the time, but you're not going to call them anything special. Everyone's sort of equal in your eyes. So that's another thing that could be interesting to you to look up. So before I list some resources, do you have any other final questions for me or anything you want to know about me?
I mean, do you think I've been a supportive friend? Like, have I been hitting totally. The benchmark? Do I need to check myself?
No, I think you've been a great friend, honestly. I mean, I obviously you guys don't see the extent of Colby and I's friendship, but we do talk a lot about this and a lot about dating and stuff. At one point, I would make, so this is why the chart joke is funny. I would make literal, like, infographics of people I was dating and, like, our like, relationships. So if one guy was married or one guy was just, like, a friend situation, I would color code the line. So I have done that in the past, which I thought it was clever. It helped keep you kept track of everything.
Apparently it's a stereotype, though, so. What a help for one. It really helped me be able to keep things straight.
One thing I want to mention too, is if you're thinking about, you know, this, or maybe you're starting into polyamory, make sure if you're on a dating app to denote that in your profile. It makes a lot of conversations easier and not, like, you don't want to be on a third date with someone and they're like, oh, hey, like, I'm feeling this. And you're like, oh, by the way, I also see two other people. Is that cool? Like, you really want to be upfront about this mm-hmm. when you're dating people, which can be super hard. And I've struggled with that in the past because you're like, well, what if they don't like me?
Especially since that sort of thing is a deal breaker for a lot of people.
Exactly. And, you know, realistically, like, if that's not what they're looking for and you want to try that out, they're probably not the person for you. I've had to deal with that too. So,
you know, it's kind of like Love is Blind, or like what I was talking to my partner about in Love is Blind, where there were some things that would come up after. So for those of you who do not watch Love is Blind, it is a show where people got engaged to each other without ever seeing each other, just based off an emotional connection. And then they get married 3 weeks later. So a lot of the time I was like, this seems like something they should have talked about very early on. Like, if this was going to be a problem for you, you should have discussed this. If this is going to be like an accelerated kind of relationship from start to finish, you should address these things early. I feel like a lot of things should be addressed early. So for things like, hey, I'm going to be seeing other people, or whatever other biggish thing, I feel like you should talk about that early, dude. Also, I am a person who has been in a committed relationship, monogamous relationship, for like 4.5 years. So maybe I am out of touch with how dating works, but that's just what I think. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think you should always be upfront about everything. But to your point, you should also know that things may change. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you could start dating someone and you really like them, and they're like, you know, I kind of want to close our relationship for a little bit just to get to know someone better. Realize, like, that's totally valid too. And everything changes. What I like about polyamory is everything is negotiable at pretty much every time. So that's kind of how relationships should be, I feel like.
Like the New York Times bestselling author John Green once said,
Jesus Christ,
use your words. That's it. Just use your words.
If you've been enjoying this little primer on polyamory, I have some resources that I will list in the episode description, but you can go to morethan2.com, which is an awesome resource. There are a couple books. Opening Up and The Ethical Slut are both highly recommended. I haven't actually read The Ethical Slut, but it's been recommended to me. I just haven't gotten around to it. There's a couple of great podcasts. Also, Savage Love is running for like 10 years, and he has call-ins of different people who are having relationship issues, and y'all know I love talking about that. So there's also Multiamory, which has been really helpful personally. They have a lot of great tips on navigating jealousy and scheduling, and it's awesome.
And if you want to yell at me about everything I'm wrong about in relationships, I set my Twitter at the top of the show. Just direct all of that attention there.
Thank you for listening to Martha and Colby Grow Up. We'll be back next week with a masterclass in communication.
Hell yeah.
Find us online at www.marthaandcolby or on Twitter and Instagram at Martha and Colby.
Steven Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
Thanks to Jordan from Dreamful Podcast for the artwork.
Shout out to Irene, even though you don't listen to this podcast.
Don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon. Thinking about this, if you're thinking and listening about this,
go ahead, just start that one over. Okay.
If you're thinking and listening about, I can't really think of any off the top of my head.
I can't say this for sure, but one thing I can.